Well, it's good to be here this morning, and it's certainly good to see everyone that is out. Good to see the Wilkerson clan, and good to see my niece, and Clayton, and Joni, and good to see all of you. I'm glad you're here. We're going to talk for a little while this morning, and this is my assignment this month, and we're speaking about covenants this month, and this is very interesting. We're going to speak this morning about the covenant that God made with Abraham. To give you a basis for this, let's go to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we will read the first three verses. First three verses of chapter 12 of Genesis. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This on the outside just simply looks like a covenant that God has made with the man Abram, a man that was full of faith, a man that was very godly. But as we begin to look at this covenant and begin to dissect it, we see that this is far, far greater than simply a covenant between God and Abraham. God is making a contract with humanity when he makes this contract or this covenant with Abraham. Now, he did tell Abraham, "I will make with you a national covenant. I'm going to make a national aspect out of thee because I'm going to make of you a very great nation." And God did this. But there's also a personal promise that God made to Abram in this contract when he said, "I will bless you and will make your name great, and in this shall be the blessing." And it is the personal blessing that we want to speak about this morning, because it is the personal blessing that God made in this contract with Abraham that affects us and all of humanity, even these many thousands and thousands of years later. So we're going to go to our Heavenly Father in the word of prayer, and then we're going to talk and to understand the contract that God made with Abraham. I want to start out with a premise here to base this lesson upon. And I want to talk this morning about this covenant that God made with Abraham, and I want to speak about the divine purpose of the covenant. This was very special to God, this covenant that he made with Abraham, and it is very special to us. Because this shows us that right at the very beginning of creation, after Noah and the flood, that this is a covenant that enshrines all of the purposes that God had for human beings, both Jew and Gentile, regarding the plan and the hopes of God and the reconciliation of man once more to God. God was going to make Abraham great. And he did that. And he took him out and he showed him the stars and he said, "Your people shall be as the stars that are in the heavens." And Abraham then became known as the father of the Jews, a great amount of people, a great many people. But Abraham was not only the father of the Jews. He was the father of the Jews through his son Isaac, but he also was the father of the Arabian nations through his son Ishmael. And there were many kings, there were many rulers, there were many descendants, both Jewish and also Arabic, that came from Father Abraham. In fact, if we look at the population of the world today, we will see that over half of the population of the world today either professes Christianity through Jesus, or professes Judaism through Abraham and Isaac, or professes the Muslim religion through the Arabians. God fulfilled the promise that he made to Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations and many peoples, and he did this in this covenant that he made. There's also a universal promise here, because God also said, "I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you." Israel was the elected people that God chose that the Messiah would come from. And God was using the Israelite people as the vehicle to reconcile man once again back to him. And he did this through the bloodline, or through the seed of Father Abraham. And this was the basis, this was the basic reason for the covenant that God made with Abraham. It was the reason for the covenant. It was beyond the physical blessing that God made to Abraham as to being the father and have many people and many descendants that come after him. But the important part of this covenant was the spiritual part of the covenant, where God said, through your seed, I will bring a Messiah. And those promises were made. Those promises were fulfilled. When Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was born, and he was born as a descendant from the seed and the lineage of Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant, or whatever you would call it, is announced in chapter 12. And then it is confirmed in detail in chapter 13. It is then reconfirmed in chapter 15. Let's read these few verses in chapter 13. Chapter 13, beginning with verse 14 through verse 17, it said, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all of the land which thou seest I will give to thee and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." This is the promise. This is the covenant that God gave to this man, Abraham. This was the covenant that he made. This is what I'm going to do for you. This is the covenant that he made of the kingship of David, and the growth of the Israelite nation and the Arabian nation, all coming from Abraham and this covenant. He then, in chapter 15, he reconfirms this. Let's read the first 8 verses of chapter 15 to get a little better idea. It says, "After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go to childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said," or Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, for he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward the heavens, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and shall give this land to thee to inherit it." This was the covenant that God made with Abraham. The covenant is announced in chapter 12. It is confirmed again in chapter 13. It is reconfirmed in chapter 15. And now all the covenant needs is to be officially ratified and made legal, this covenant between God and Abraham. In verse 8, though, Abraham asked the question, God, how is this going to be? Abraham was a very old man at this time. And he is not unfaithful, because he was faithful. It says because of his faithfulness that God counted it unto him as righteousness. But he did not understand the reality, because Abraham looked at things from an earthly way. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I shall inherit this? How do I know that this is going to happen? And God said, we'll make a contract. We'll make a covenant. He said, let's make a covenant, Abraham, between me and you. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find a 3-year-old heifer. I want you to find a 3-year-old female goat. And I want you to find a 3-year-old male goat, a ram. Then I want you to get a turtle dove, and I want you to get a young pigeon. And he said, after you find these 3 animals, I want you to cut them in 2, right down the middle, cut them in half, lay them apart side by side. He said, don't cut the birds, but kill them as a sacrifice. And God said this, in the ways of the covenant of people at this time, we will both walk through the rendered remains of these animals, and we will, through the blood of these animals, we will sanctify, we will justify the covenant. It goes on to say that a covenant that is made with blood in this way, if either one of the parties break the covenant, may they be rent in two as the animals that had been cut in two to make the sacrifice. God is literally putting and staking his reputation upon this blood sacrifice that he is making with Abraham. In the 17th chapter, after the covenant is ratified in chapter 15, there is a sign that is placed upon this covenant. You know, when God made the covenant with Noah after the flood, he said, I will never, ever again destroy the world with water. And he said, to prove this to you, Noah, I will place a rainbow in the sky. Anytime you see this rainbow, know that I am faithful to my covenant, my promise. I will never destroy the world again by rain. This is the sign. There's also a sign in this covenant that he made with Abraham, and that was the circumcision. It is a physical cutting. As the animals were cut in two and spread apart, and they walked down through the blood, there was a physical cutting that had to be part. It was a sign to signify those that were descendants of Abraham. And the commandment is made right here that every one of the descendants of Abraham, every male descendant of Abraham, upon their eighth day of life, would be circumcised, a physical cutting. He said, this will be the sign that this is a promise between us. The contracts were made by the sacrificial splitting of the carcasses of animals, laying them on the ground. Both parties of the contract would walk through. So when Abraham asked God, how do I know this is going to happen? How do I know that I can believe this? Where are my doubts? God said, you go out and get three animals. You do what I have told. You provide the contract. You get the contract ready, and I will sign it. And God made this contract with Abraham. Now, he did have doubts. Of course, he had doubts. He was so very old. But he had faith to do what God had told him to do. And God was faithful to his promise because he actually put his reputation on the line in this covenant. So the final analysis of all of this, that I want to make the point, I want it to be understood, Abraham believed in God. He had his doubts. In reality, he had his doubts. But he believed in God, and God accounted it to him as righteousness. Abraham had faith in God. He had faith in his word. He had faith in his promise, and he had faith in the contract that God was willing to make, that God would not break any contract, this blood contract that he was making. Let's look at the animals, because there's also some significance in the animals that God chose. God said, bring me. That's also significant. God said, bring me these sacrifices. You know, if you want to move up a couple of thousand years, there was another sacrifice that was made upon the cross of Calvary where God said, bring me a sacrifice that is perfect, that can justify the anger, the righteous anger that I have toward the sins of humanity. God needed a sacrifice to justify this anger. And Jesus Christ was a sacrifice that God demanded to be brought to him. But with Abraham, he said, go out and get three animals and bring them to me. Now, we've got to remember, these animals were not animals that were wild. They were not animals that had to be captured. They were not animals that had to be hunted. These were animals that were living right there with men. These were servants of men. These were docile animals. These were tamed animals. He said, get the heifer. This is the heifer is the strength and the energy. This is the animal that has the willingness and the ability to carry the heavy loads of mankind and to do the work for the men. He said, get a goat. This goat would be the animal of the sin offering that was to be used in the Levitical priesthood. He said, bring me a ram. This is a ram that is connected with the consecration of all of the Levitical offerings that were made. By taking these three docile animals that were already servants of men, they didn't fight them, they didn't run, there was no hunting. These were animals that were already servants of men that had been used in the servitude of men. They were there, they were willing, they were sacrificed, and they were brought before God for this sacrifice. So Abraham did what he was told to do. He took the heifer, he took the ram, and he took the female goat, and he cut them in two, and he laid them side by side as he had been commanded, so that the path was clear in the blood of these animals, that the covenant could be sealed with the blood of these animals. But that didn't end it. Because after the sacrifice had been made, after God had told Abram what he wanted him to do, Abram did what God told him to do. There was obedience that was involved. Abraham did what God told him to do, and then he set back to wait upon God. God operates on his time. He doesn't operate on ours. God said, prepare the sacrifice, prepare the contract, and I will sign it. Abram did that, and then he sat back to wait upon God. But there were some efforts here that was required. Because the Bible tells us that after sacrifices were killed and laid out, ready for the God to come, that the vultures began to come in upon the sacrifices. And Abraham spent his day keeping the vultures off of the sacrifice to protect the purity and the sanctity of the sacrifice. It said that late at night, Abraham was tired and that he fell into a very deep sleep. And when he fell into the deep sleep is when the Lord God came to certify and to ratify the contract. So there's also some meaning here. All you have to do is look at this and you can see all of the meanings that this has. There is a thread that runs from the very first of Genesis all throughout the last book of Revelation. He put Abraham into a deep sleep. As Abraham was in this very deep sleep, God came and justified, signed the contract because God walked through this blood path between the animals. Abraham didn't do it. It was God. And he came after he put a deep sleep over Abraham. Out of death, sleep, deep sleep, out of death came resurrection. Go back now to Adam. Adam, the first creation, said that God put Adam into a very deep sleep. And under the anesthesia of sleep, God removed a rib from Adam. And from the rib, he made Eve, he made woman. Out of sleep, death, comes life. Now, step forward to the cross some 2,000 years later. Jesus Christ died upon that cross. He was buried. He arose. Out of death comes life. In all three instances, of Adam, of Abraham, and of Jesus, out of death comes life. Out of death comes salvation. Out of death comes redemption. In verses 13 through 16, God gave Abraham some further confirmation of what was going to happen. He said, your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will serve the masters of that land, and those masters will afflict them for 400 years. You know, this is exactly how it came to pass. Because the children of Abraham, through Isaac, the Jews, ended up in the land of Egypt. And they were under the taskmasters of the Egyptians. God said from this group of people, the taskmasters, he says, I will judge them. And 430 years after they entered, 400 years after they became slaves, the children of Israel left Egypt, and they took with them the plunder that they took from the land of Egypt. Prophecies about the Egyptian bondage. God said, your people will go into bondage. Your people will suffer under bondage. They will come out of bondage. This is how they will come out, and this is when they will come out. And God teaches all of this to Abraham about his descendants, about something that is to happen way in the future. Now, go to Exodus 6 and read verses 16 through 20, and you will find that Levi, which was Abram's great-great-grandson, was the first generation of Israelites that lived and were in slavery in Egypt. Levi had a son. His name was Kohath. This was the second generation of Israelites that lived and were in bondage in the land of Egypt. His son was a man by the name of Amram. This was the third generation of Israelites that were in bondage in Egypt. And through the association of Amram and his wife Jochebed was born the fourth Israelite, Moses, who was the individual that led the children of Abraham, of Isaac, out of the land of bondage, 430 years of prophecy that was made to Abraham as his covenant was being established. This is very significant. Another thing that's very significant about this covenant that God made, when God put Abram to sleep, Abram was completely out of it. He was not there. It was a very deep sleep that came over him. And when he went to sleep, God came down and God walked through the bloody pathway to signify, to justify, to ratify the covenant between he and Abraham. Abraham didn't walk through it. This wasn't Abraham's covenant. This wasn't Abraham's deal. This was God's deal. God said, this is my covenant with you, Abraham. This is my covenant from my people with you, Abraham. He said, you didn't do anything to earn it. You're not going to do anything to break it. But through this covenant that I have established, I will give you land, and I will give you power, and I will give you great people that will follow as your descendants. But more than anything else, I want the seed of you, Abraham, that through your descendants, through Isaac, through the Jews, there might be a special blessing that would be given to the church, to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and to every individual that would ever live in the world after it. God said, this is my promise unto you. God said, I will do it. I have done it. And I will fulfill my promise of a Messiah through you, Abraham. And Abraham slept through the entire thing. This was God's covenant with Abraham, and God did it himself. Just like God walked through the bloody remains of these animals to seal and to justify this covenant with Abraham, there was 2,000 years later, God walked through the bloody sacrifice of his son upon the cross so that he could seal a new covenant, a covenant for us, a covenant for all mankind, not just a covenant for the Jews and the descendants of Abraham. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. On the day that God made a covenant with Abraham, or more specifically, cut a covenant with Abraham, this was the day that he also cut a covenant with humanity today. When he said, I make this covenant with Abraham, he is in reality saying, I am making this covenant with all of my people that will come and will descend from Abraham. And he said, it's done and it is finished. Abraham's covenant was built on three things. It was built upon the Word of God. It was built upon the promise of God, that God would be faithful to his promise. And it was built through the blood of a sacrificed animal. God made a covenant with Abraham through his word, his promise, and the blood of animals. God made a covenant with us several years later. He made it through his own son, Jesus Christ. The promise was made through his word and through the promise of hope and salvation and reconciliation. And he made it through the blood of the perfect sacrifice, his son, Jesus Christ. From sleep comes life. In the case of Adam, in the case of Abraham, and in the case of Jesus Christ himself. Look at the picture that is told in this book of Genesis about the covenant of Abraham. Look at the thread that starts way back here with Adam and goes through Abraham after the flood and extends through his son, Jesus Christ, that extends all the way through Revelations to us this very day. Life through death. From Adam, from Abraham, from Jesus, and every bit of this is represented in this covenant that God made with Father Abraham. I hope there's been something come of this. I thought it was a very interesting study, and it simply amazes me when we begin to study these things how everything ties together. Every word in this Bible is built, is directed toward Jesus Christ. That was the reason for the Bible, the Savior, the Messiah of the world. And everything that has ever been done has pointed exactly and perfectly to Jesus Christ. We'll now offer a song of invitation. If we can help anyone in the audience in any way, we ask you to come forward as we sing.